This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bro, there's no blinding.
We have to go check.
Okay.
I got you one.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. But have you admitted everybody? I can't admit them.
I am.
There's 15 people coming in. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. Are you able to hear me?
I'm Sheikh, I can hear you clearly.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Good to hear.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, all good. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم to all of you. I hope you all well. Hope you had a good week since we last spoke. A couple of beginning with a bit of apologies. So first things, we apologize to everybody for the change of meeting venue, or the time rather. The time has changed, of course, to number one, accommodate Maghrib, which is becoming earlier, so we'll probably stick to 6 o'clock going forward for now. Also, the YouTube streaming is not available. There's something here. So in Cape Town, Bukhap, apparently the internet is down. I'm just fortunate to have a Wi-Fi 3G card, and so I can be with those of you on Teams. But for those who are joined via YouTube, unfortunately, you're not able to stream. But that will be uploaded later, inshallah, once Wi-Fi returns. Are you able to see the slides, Uncle Saim?
No
slides available. Okay, so let's share once again. Just try that. Are these visible now? No, okay, so let's just power through. It's one of those days where it seems nothing is working, unfortunately. It's one of those days, alhamdulillah. You know, it would not be an online class without online problems. So just a quick summary. Last week, we began the story of our father, Adam, the first man, the creation of humanity. And we spoke about how Allah addresses the angels and he says, Inni ja'in fil ardi khalifa. He says to the angels, I intend to place on the earth my khalifa. And in fact, this word khalifa requires a lot of discussion. It's a very interesting word. It's not found in other places in the Quran when Allah speaks about the creation of Nabi Adam. And it gives a lot of information as to some of the questions that have come through. I mean, a few people have asked some really, really good questions, and we're going to start off with these questions. So Allah says to the angels, I intend placing on the earth my Khalifa. And the angels, of course, said, why, Ya Allah, why would you do this? These people, this creature that you plan on creating is going to cause mischief, shed blood, and we are praising you, worshipping you continuously. We don't understand the wisdom behind this. And Allah says, I know of them what you don't know. And so a number of questions have been asked by all of you, and I really appreciate the questions. And I say again, you know, many times people message me and they say, we're so sorry to ask this question and please don't get offended. I'm really happy that you asked the questions and you asked the difficult questions. So let's go through some of the questions that were asked. The first thing that was asked, even before the Adamic story, before the story of Nabi Adam, the question was, and I'm paraphrasing here, you know, we said that the crux of Islam is La ilaha illallah. The reason why we were created is to worship Allah alone and to worship Him without an intermediary. Not to go via an idol or to go via an ancestor or a saint or a grave or a wali or any of those things. You can invoke Allah directly. You can say, oh Allah, cure me. And we say this is different to other religions. Other religions, other faiths, they invoke Jesus. They invoke the idols, their statues. And so the person asked, but don't we then bow to the Kaaba? five times a day. We make sajda to a black box in the middle of Saudi Arabia, and once in our life we are told to go to Mecca and to make a tawaf, a circle around this black box. Sometimes we kiss one of the stones of this box, we touch it, we rub it, we make dua there. Is this not the same that the Hindus do with their idols, the same that many other cultures do with their artifacts and graves and shrines? And we need to say that we understand, we can understand why you would have that incorrect notion that the Kaaba is being worshipped by Muslims. And the answer is simple: we don't worship the Kaaba. And we know from, as a Muslim, if you were to call out to the Kaaba, "Oh Kaaba, oh black box, cure me," this is undoubtedly shirk. This is associating a partner with Allah. We face the Kaaba directionally. It is a direction. And in fact, it's not even the Kaaba itself, because if the Kaaba were to be picked up, you know, someone deconstructed the Kaaba, took away all the, broke the Kaaba down, all its stones, and then rebuilt it somewhere else, you know, in Dubai, we would not change our Qibla, we would not change our direction to Dubai, we'll continue facing that same location. So that GPS coordinate, basically, where the Kaaba is on, is our direction of worship, right? It is the way we face in worship, that those GPS coordinates. But we don't worship that ground or those stones. And this happened in the past. A group of people, there was a time when the Kaaba was destroyed. It burnt down. The stones of it, the black stone, was robbed and taken to Bahrain. It happened in the past. We did not change our direction to the Kaaba. And perhaps the best example of this would be when a person dies and we perform janazah salah. We place the dead person in front of us and we make dua for him. We're not worshipping him. We're making dua to Allah. We're asking Allah, help me, forgive this man. But he is placed in front of us when we make salah. And so the Kaaba as well, it is our direction, but it is not our object of worship. And in fact, the Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, the famous companion, if those of you are not familiar with him, one of the disciples of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And remember, the disciples of the Prophet, peace be upon him, they used to worship idols. They used to worship idols. And so for them, facing a stone was, you know, something which they had to remind themselves, we don't worship stones. And so Sayyidina Umar had this very famous statement. Whenever he came to the Kaaba, he would say, "Oh Kaaba, I know you are a stone. You cannot benefit me, you cannot harm me. You're just rock. And I only face you, basically, in worship, and I only kiss this part, because the Prophet, peace upon him, kissed this part, and that's it. I don't believe that you have any power to benefit or harm." Like if you were to have a piece of the Kaaba here and you were to use it to protect you, put it in the car, you won't get robbed, all of this would be shirk. This would be associating a partner with Allah. And therefore we don't invoke the Kaaba. We don't ask the Kaaba for anything. Whereas the idol worshipper, he says, "Oh, whatever hubal, oh, whatever idol it is, if you move the idol, he moves." You know, if you put the idol on top, he prays there. If you put the idol down, he prays there. So he faces the idol and he calls out on the idol, and he believes the idol has some kind of connection between him, between the idol and Allah. It connects you to Allah, or in the worst case scenario, like those who go to the graves maybe, or those who invoke Jesus or a certain person, they believe that that thing, the ancestors, they have the power to put blessings on you, to give you good luck or misfortune. We need to sacrifice for the idols. We need to sacrifice for the ancestors. It's very different. No one sacrifices or worships or praises the Kaaba. We just face the Kaaba. And as I said, you should know by now as Muslims that the Kaaba stones are renovated every so often. It's, you know, redone and remodeled, and that's it. There's no problem. And we even know that the Kaaba as it is not on the original form as it was in the time of Nabi Ibrahim or the time when the angels built it. It's just a demarcation that this area is to be faced in directionally in terms of worship. Any questions on that? Does anyone have a question or would like to discuss that a little further? The difference between idol worship and facing the Kaaba in Salah. Are you guys still there? Okay. Right. Okay, so then...
one that's commonly common is the house of Allah.
Yeah, so... Right, so people call it Baytullah, the house of Allah. It does not mean that Allah resides within it, that Allah needs a home. As Allah says in many places, Naqatullah, the camel of Allah. There's a prophet called Nabi Salih, and the people killed the camel. Allah says, and they killed the naqatullah, the camel of Allah. It doesn't mean Allah rides that camel. It means the camel belonging to Allah. The ruh of Allah, when Allah says to Nabi Isa that Allah is going to place his soul inside of Adam, Allah doesn't, it's not saying the soul which is part of Allah, rather a soul belonging to Allah. So when you say every masjid, we call it Baytullah, every mosque is a specific house dedicated to the worship of Allah. Right, that's what it basically means. A house which is dedicated only for Allah. There's nothing else that happens in the mosque other than to praise and worship Allah. But Allah does not reside within the mosques, and definitely not within the Kaaba. Allah is external to his creation. Another question someone asked, what is the difference between us and Christians? Christians worship Jesus and you worship the Prophet, peace be upon him. You make salawat upon him. You, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you venerate him. And if you understand what the salawat is not to worship the Prophet, peace be upon him. We are not asking the Prophet of anything. We are not asking him to forgive us, to benefit us, to harm us. We are sending praise upon him. And in fact, we are not saying, O Muhammad, praise be you. No, we are saying, O Allah. Look at the salawat. Allahumma, O Allah, please praise and honor. O Allah, bless the Prophet, peace be upon him. The same way you would say, O Allah, bless my father, bless my mother. O Allah, forgive my sister. We are actually worshipping Allah and we are asking Allah to benefit the Prophet, peace be upon him. And that is, you know, it's actually the opposite of worshipping the Prophet, peace be upon him. And to make this very clear in the Quran, and I know as we get further down the line, we'll talk more about who the Prophet, peace be upon him, was, and all the prophets, who are they? Allah says in the Quran, "Kul, say, O Muhammad, tell them, La amliku li nafsi naf'an wa la darra, that I, as Muhammad, I have no ability to benefit myself or anyone else, or to harm anyone. I have no ability to benefit or harm, illa ma sha Allah, except Allah alone has the power. وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ, and had I known the secrets of the unseen, if I had all knowledge, لَسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنْ الْخَيْرِ, I would have gathered all the blessings around me. If I knew when the rain was going to fall, where the gold is, where the oil is, I would have gathered all the benefits to me. If I knew the secrets of the unseen, وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ أَسُوءٌ, and nothing would ever harm me. No one could ever harm me. No one could ever cheat me. No one could ever hurt me. If I knew all the secrets unseen. So he's saying, I don't have this knowledge. I am only nadirun wa bashir. I'm only a one that was sent to warn people and to give them glad tidings to a people who believe and to call them basically to Allah. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, is a human being. And he is a slave, a servant. Allah calls him that in many, many places in the Quran, that my servant, my slave, that the Prophet, peace be upon him, like us, is in complete servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is not in any way divine. He is not in any way something which is someone which is worshipped. Now getting to Adam, and we continue, we're still asking questions. In the first, and these are excellent questions, and in fact, I like the fact that these are questions which are part of my lecture for this evening, which means that people are following, you know, and you're actually thinking about the questions. Allah says to the angels, I will place on the earth a khalifa. Khalifa, if you ask people now, what is a khalifa? They will say khalifa means king or sultan or ruler. The khalifa is like the president, the Muslim president. That's not what the word khalifa means. Khalifa means substitute, actually. It means a substitute or a replacement, a successor. So if you want to give an example of what a khalifa is, the khalifa is the one that succeeds the one that needs to be there. So if you are the CEO, and if you say, look guys, when I am not here, this guy, my deputy, he's my khalifa. When I am not here, he takes the position of the one in charge. Now, why did the term khalifa come to mean sultan or ruler or king? Because when the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, when he passed away, they needed a leader. There was no leader anymore. Politically, the Muslims didn't have a ruler. So they decided to choose Abu Bakr, one of the disciples. You will be our ruler. When they chose him, they said, what name should we give you? We don't want to call you king. He said, no, I don't want to be called king. I don't want to be president. Call me Khalifa. Call me, I am the substitute. I am the successor of the Prophet. So his actual title was Khalifa to Rasulullah. I am the deputy of the Messenger of Allah. That was his name. And so after a while, it just became known as Khalifa, and everyone else after him became called the Khalifa. But it actually meant the deputy or the successor, the one who succeeds. Now when Allah says in the Quran to the angels, I'm going to place on the earth a Khalifa, I'm going to place on the earth a successor, A successor to whom, to what? The one view is that Adam is the representative of Allah on earth. That Adam, mankind, is here to represent Allah on earth. That we are the successor, not the successor of Allah, but he's a representative on earth. This is actually a minority view. Although it's a popular view, this is not the correct view. The actual view is, the scholarly view is, that there were many, many creatures that lived on earth that had free will. And that is why the angels are saying, why are you doing this again, Ya Allah? Have we not been through this before? There were creatures that came, they had free will, they caused mischief, they were destroyed or they died. Now you're doing it again. We don't understand the wisdom, Allah. So Allah is saying, I am creating a new successor, a new model that will succeed the previous one. And this is very interesting, you know, considering what we know of what anthropology, what we know about the theory of evolution. We know that there were human-like creatures that existed long before Homo sapiens. I'm not saying that this is the meaning or this is the interpretation. I'm just throwing it out there. There's an interesting, this is the view of the classical scholars of Islam was that there were creatures living on the earth. They had free will and then they were replaced by Adam. They were superseded. They were succeeded by Adam. And we know from fossils that they were human-like. They were not Homo sapiens, but they were human-like creatures. They had intelligence. They had communities. They had artwork. Could this be a nation that preceded Adam? In fact, most of the scholars of the Quran mention that there were creatures that lived before Adam. And it is part of our theology that there were many creatures, there were countless beings before we were created, and long after we're gone, there will be countless beings continue to be created because Allah is Al-Khaliq, the creator, and as the creator, he will continuously create things. We should not think that the story begins and ends with us. The other understanding is that the jinn, and we'll talk about them this evening, that there is a race of creatures which we know are called the jinn. And Allah says in the Quran, and the jinn, we created them before Adam. Now we know the jinn also has free will. We'll talk about the jinn this evening. In our lecture today is about the angels and demons. It's wrong to call the jinn demons because like people, you have good jinn and bad jinn. And not all of them are demonic or not all of them are evil. But the jinn have the ability to choose to be good or to be bad. And they definitely preceded Adam. And so the second question that the person asked, you know, how did the angels know that Adam is going to commit sin? Because the jinn were there and the angels saw that this experiment, if you will, with the jinn, you know, they are not fulfilling their duty. The last question, and this is, before we move on, this is an excellent question. The question says, Allah said at the beginning to the angels, I will place on the earth man. Now, we will talk about the fall of mankind. We'll talk about how Adam made a mistake and then he was sent to the earth. And so, many of you have the notion, and this is deeply maybe influenced from Christian mythology or Christian theology, that as a punishment to Adam, he was sent to the earth. You know, so if understand the ayah said to the angels, I'm going to put Adam on the earth from the beginning. So he was already destined to go to the earth. But how is that fair if he wasn't even created? He didn't even commit a sin. You know, how does this make sense? And the answer to this, subhanAllah, the person who asked this question, you're asking the same question that Nabi Musa is going to ask. So Moses, we know of a narration, our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says, in the future, on the day of judgment, this is this is something which is going to happen. Moses, Musa ﷺ, he will go and look, where's Adam? And he will say to Adam, are you Adam? Are you the one that Allah created with his hands? The angels bowed to you. You had free reign in Jannah. You had everything going for you. Are you that Adam? And Adam will say, yes, that's me. I'm like the father of mankind. And then Musa will ask him, so how could you have committed a sin that caused all of us to be in this mess? Because of you, all of us are on the earth. And Adam's response to Nabi Musa Adam's going to respond to him and say that me and us coming to the earth was something which was determined before I was even created. Us being on earth and living on earth, this was always part of the plan. My sin was, it wasn't actually the causing of that, but it was the thing that eventually, that it was the trigger, but it was that we were always meant to be here. So I am not the reason why you're on the earth. We were always meant to be on the earth. And maybe to give you a way to understand this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He planned that we will always be on the earth. But he did not begin us on the earth. He made us, he made Adam external, above in the heavens. He made Adam in paradise, in Jannah, in the garden. And he told Adam, you will stay here. And so long as you don't do anything wrong, you will remain here. But the idea is eventually, with time, he would make a sin and he will go to the earth. And that is where we were always meant to be. But instead of creating us on the earth, so one might ask, why did Allah not just create Adam to begin with on the earth? Because there's a lot of wisdoms in that. It's like your dad saying, I'm going to give you 100 rand allowance up front. And so long as you don't do anything wrong, I'm going to, every time you make a mistake, I'll deduct some money from it. So instead of you earning your allowance, you got the allowance, but if you commit mistakes, we take away some of the blessings. Adam was given the blessings, all of it up front, and said, so long as you do your part, you will remain in my mercy and in my my blessings. And so the message is this, that Allah gives you the blessings up front. Allah gives you his favor. You don't have to earn it. And if you commit a sin, then you move away from his blessing. And so the lesson, and we'll talk a lot about one of the wisdoms of creating Adam, was to commit sin. Was so that he could repent. This is different to the angels. The angels can't repent because they don't commit sin. And so it is part of the story of Adam. And we're going to see how Iblis, who also has free will, how does he approach sin? What does he do when he commits the sin? So Adam, yes, he was always intended to be on earth. That was always part of the plan. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him sort of a free holiday until his time was up and until he changed his blessing. And so then Allah said, now it's time for you to go back to the earth where you were meant to be from the beginning. And that also, when we talk about the fall, one of the theories is that when he found out, and we'll talk about this, when Adam found out that I was always meant to go on earth, he panicked and he made the sin. We'll talk about why he ate and who is to be blamed. We blame Eve. We'll talk about all of that perhaps in our next lecture. But as we go back to today's lecture, we need to talk about the other characters around Adam, the angels and the jinn. We need to talk about these creatures so that we understand the story a little deeper. Any questions before we begin? Any questions before we begin, guys? Okay, so Allah says to the angels, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ, Allah said to the angels, I intend to place on the earth my representative, or a representative. And so the angels, who are these creatures? So we assume, and in most religions, it's one of those common characteristics that most religions, most cultures have a concept of beings that are, we call them angels. We understand them to be sinless, beautiful. They're always depicted as having wings. Now, where does this come from? You need to ask yourself, why is it that Jews and Muslims, Christians, Hindus, if you go to different parts of, you know, different parts of the world, there's the concept of an angel or beings that are angelic is within these cultures. And you'd find similarities, made of light, beautiful, they fly, they do good for people. This is part of that original message that went to Adam, and it stays with us until throughout humanity. So Allah says in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most beneficent, Alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah, Fatiris Samawati wal Ard, the creator, the originator of the heavens and the earth, Ja'ilil Malaika, the one who made the angels Rusulan, he made them emissaries, he made the angels beings which carry a message or which do a function. Ulul ajniha, they have wings. Mathna wa thulatha wa ruba'. Some have two, some have three, some have four, some have more. Yazidu fil khalqi ma yasha. Allah gives in creation, he increases to whomever he wants in creation as he wishes. Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. That Allah does whatever he desires, whatever he wishes, he has control over all things. We know from a prophetic narration that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, the angels are a race of creatures. They are a type of creature that were created from light, pure light, nur. They were created from light. Then the Prophet says there is a type of creature called the jinn kind, that they were created from fire, from a fire that has no smoke, a fire that is extremely hot, pure, maybe we're going to call it energy. They were created from pure energy. And Adam, as we know, is created from clay and water, that he is made from sand and water, he's made from clay. So we have these three types of creatures. And these three creatures are unique to the other beings. They're unique to the animals. They're unique to the mountains and the sand and the stars. Why? Because they have some level of intelligence. The angels, of course, they are beings that understand and they can speak. The jinn as well, and there's man. And the jinn and man are special even more than the angels, because both jinn and man have the ability of free will. They have the ability of choice. The angels don't have free will. The angels don't procreate. They don't eat. They don't sleep. They don't get married. The angels simply, they're almost robotic. They do as their command and they fulfill the commands of their Lord. Now, one of the pillars of Iman to be a Muslim, if you want to be a Muslim, the first thing is you must believe in Allah. There's one Allah, He is the creator of all things. The second pillar is to believe in the angels. Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi. You should believe that Allah has angels and that these angels, they follow His command. They are not partners with Allah. They are not to be worshipped, but they exist. And they serve a function. Again, not that Allah needs angels to do any kind of work, but He has created them. And some of those angels we know by name, Jibril, the archangel, who has many, many functions. The most important function is that he is the medium. He is the emissary. He is the ambassador between Allah and people. So when we'll talk about prophets, there are men who receive revelation, men who receive messages from Allah. How does Allah communicate with people? Do they get an SMS? Do they get a WhatsApp? Do they get a Teams a meeting with Allah? No. Jibreel, this angel, he conveys the message. He comes with a message to the prophets of Allah. In extremely rare cases, Allah at times communicates directly. He speaks directly to the prophet and not through the intermediary of Jibreel. So this is Jibreel, the archangel, and he is mentioned in the Quran with many names. One of them is the Ruhul Qudus, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And that is where the Trinity, the Christian Trinity, comes: the belief in the Father, which is Allah, the Son, which is Nabi Isa, and the Holy Spirit is actually supposedly Jibreel, you know, the angel Jibreel, because he is, Allah calls him the Holy Spirit, the Ruhul Amin, the trusted spirit. And so through Christian theology, he became party with Allah in a trinity. Nonetheless, there are other angels as well. We have Mikael, who's mentioned in the Quran, the angel Michael, who is described, and Allah knows best, he is the angel of mercy, angel of rain, the angel of a special kind of angel. We have in the Quran the angel Malik, and Malik is almost the opposite of Mikael. Malik is the angel of Jahannam. He is the warden of Jahannam. He's the most severe, the most stern of all the angels. His job is basically to execute. He's the executioner of Allah. We know that there's the angel of death. Strangely, his name is known to be Israel, yet no one knows. It's just commonly known as Israel, but there's no real evidence that his name is Israel. It might be his name is just Malik al-Maut, the angel of death. And there are many, many other angels out there. And so, as Muslims, we believe that these are beings that have intelligence, that they worship Allah, and that they are completely in fulfillment of the command of Allah. Then we have this group called the jinn, as I said, and they're created from fire with free will. Now, getting back to Adam, getting back to the story of Adam. Now, can you imagine when Allah says to these angels, with their power, with their beauty, with their might, with all their perfection, Allah says to them, I'm going to create this creature called Adam. And I'm going to show you that he's not only that he has something special. Not only is he special, but he's more special than you, O angels. Because then Allah will teach Adam knowledge which even the angels cannot comprehend. Allah will give Adam a blessing that the angels do not receive. And when the angels realize that this creature Adam is completely on a different level, it is a being that they have never seen before. It is a type of creature that has an ability to get close to Allah in a way that they can't even get close to Allah. It is a type of being. Adam can understand Allah, can have a relationship with Allah that is even deeper than their relationship with Allah. That's when Allah says to the angels, now bow down to Adam. Bow down to Adam. And you can imagine the scene, subhanAllah. Adam is fresh off the line, newly formed, and Jibreel, Mikael, all these great angels, and Allah says all of them, the billions of angels, all of them were gathered on one spot and they were commanded to bow down to Adam. And of course the angels, They obeyed and they fell down in prostration. Side note, remember the angels questioned Allah, why? Why are you creating this being? So even though the angels had reservations, the angels had concerns, the angels had doubts, they fulfilled their command. And therefore it's nothing wrong to have questions, doubts, concerns, so long as you obey Allah. And of course you can ask the question with respect, Ya Allah, why do you do this, do that? And whether you get the answer, alhamdulillah, if you don't get the answer, you still have to obey the command. And so the angels obeyed the command, except Iblis. Then Allah continues the story that وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ, when we said to the angels, bow down to Adam, فَسَجَدُوا, and all of them, every single angel together fell down in prostration before Adam, إِلَّا Iblis, except Iblis, أَبَا وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Iblis disobeyed, he refused, and he arrogantly refused to obey the command of Allah, and he became min al-kafirin. He became a disbeliever. So who is this Iblis? Allah mentions him by name, and Allah mentions he refused to bow down to Adam. Iblis, Allah says to Iblis, kana min al-jinni fafasaqa an amri rabbi. So there's a whole debate, is Iblis an angel? And yes, in the Christian tradition, he is a fallen angel. Even in the Islamic tradition, there were many scholars that said he was an angel at one point and he was transformed into something else. We have a very clear answer in the Quran, in Surah Kaf. Allah says, "Illa Iblis," everyone bowed down besides Iblis, "kana min al-jinn," he was from the jinn, "fafasaqa an amri rabbi," and he disobeyed the Lord of his the command of his Lord. Now, there are questions like, why was Iblis there to begin with? Why was he amongst the angels? Why was he in the assembly? And in reality, Allah doesn't give that answer. There are those who have said that Iblis lived such a righteous life as a jinn that he was elevated to be amongst the angels. We don't know that for sure. What we know is that Allah gave the command to the angels. Iblis and perhaps other jinn were there as well. They were in the company of the angels, and Allah commanded them as well to bow down to Adam. And all of them, the angels and whoever else was in that gathering, if there were other jinn as well, they obeyed and they bowed down. And this is one character in the group, one creature amongst all of these beings that refuses to bow down, and he's standing. And so Allah asks him, قَالَ, Allah says to Iblis, مَا مَنَكَ عَلَّا تَسْجُدْ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكْ. Allah says, why have you not bowed down when I commanded you to do so? Remember, this is, even if you were like the angels that said, look, I'm made of light, I don't understand why I'm bowing down to this guy made of mud, but Allah commands me to do it, so I do it. So Allah asks Iblis, why are you not doing what I command you to do? In one ayah he says, I will never bow down to that. He doesn't even name Adam, he doesn't even say Adam, Iblis says, to that I will never bow down. قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ, I am better than him, I am superior to him. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارِ, Allah, you made me out of fire. وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن تِينَ, and you made him out of mud. Do you really want me? Do you expect me to bow down to that? I am made of fire and that is made of mud. And so subhanAllah, Iblis, whatever he was and however he got there, whether through righteousness, whether this was his own personal test, we don't know. Perhaps Allah and Iblis had some other, you know, they had some arrangement, not arrangement, but Iblis, remember, he also has free will. And this is maybe perhaps part of his test, that he did all the good deeds and Allah says, well, this is, I'm going to test you, Iblis, how sincere are you? And if he fulfilled that test, he would have gotten, and of course he would have gotten some kind of reward and blessing if he fulfilled and passed this test. But his response to Allah is, not only am I disobeying, not only am I not fulfilling the commandment, that was bad enough, but the reason why he's not is the ugly part. I am superior, I am better than him, and I, because of what I'm made of. And so we have this concept of not only arrogance, but you have spiritual arrogance. And I give you an example today. It's sort of like the imam, the priest. You go in the road and you look at all, they say, look at all these filthy sinners. All of you going to hell, only me. I am better than all of you. I am closer to God than you are. And of course, a lesser, you know, arrogance is the worst thing. The worst kind of arrogance is spiritual arrogance. A religious kind of arrogance, which Iblis is doing. But also lesser than that, you have a racism here. I am black, I am white, you are something else. I am made of fire, you are made of clay, so I'm better than you. And so Iblis, you know, racism is one of the primal evils. Racism, hating a creature, hating someone else because of how they look, because of what they're made of, is demonic. It is shaitani. It is from Iblis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Iblis, قَالَ يَا إِبْلِيسِ مَا لَكَ أَلَّا تَكُونَ مَعْ سَاجِرِينَ. Allah asks Iblis, again, why are you not amongst those who have made sujood? Why are you not following the angels? قَالَ, he said, لَمْ أَكُنْ لَأَسْجُدْ لِبَشَرْ, I will never bow down to a human being. خَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ, you made him of mud, and I am made of fire. And then Allah says to Iblis, now, many, and you need to understand the series of events here. Allah says, فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ. Allah says, so get out, you are expelled from here. So they were in an assembly, right? So they are in a very sacred place. All the angels, Allah and Adam is there. And so Allah says to Iblis, go, get out from this assembly, that you are rejected from us. You're not part of this group anymore. Now, Iblis obviously had a special privilege to be amongst the angels. And now that privilege is revoked. Remove yourself from this. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَةَ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And then Allah says, and I am placing the la'na. The la'na, some have translated as the curse. A la'na basically is Allah saying, and you are now away from my mercy until the day of judgment. That special relationship you had with me, that special closeness that you had with the angels, you are now forbidden. Your visa has been cut off. Your permission, your access now is denied. Right? So Iblis, he wasn't cast into Jahannam. He was just pushed out from the assembly of the angels. Okay? Then Iblis makes a kind of repentance. Look at this is why the difference between Iblis and Adam. We're going to see the difference between man and jinn. The difference between the one who sin. We all sin. But there is a good sinner and there's a bad sinner. There is a sinner that will go to paradise. And there's a sinner that, if Allah wills, will condemn, you know, to punishment, deserves punishment. This is Iblis. This is how you shouldn't sin. So after he committed the sin, he was arrogant, he disobeyed Allah. His reason was, I'm better, I'm superior, I will never do it. So Allah says, now go away from this assembly of the angels. Qala, now Iblis makes dua to Allah. Qala Rabbi, my Lord. And subhanAllah, it shows Iblis believes in Allah. He says, Qala Rabbi, فَأَنذِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Oh Allah, give me a chance. Have mercy upon me. Forgive me. Give me respite until Qiyamah. Give me leeway until Qiyamah. Don't punish me now. So, Iblis is making a repentance. قَالَ فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْذَرِينَ. So Allah says, so indeed, okay, I will give you respite and I will give you life until Qiyamah. إِلَى يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ. Until the day of judgment, I will leave you. I will not take any punishment on you. قَالَ, then Iblis said to Allah, قَالَ رَبِّي, oh my Lord, بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي, because of how you misled me, because how you let me go astray. He blames Allah, because of you. لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, I will make the earth beautiful for them. وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, and I will mislead all of them. I will tempt them. I will seduce all of them. All Adam and all of his children, I will make sure that they are all misled. قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي, and then in another verse he says again, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي, because of what you made me do of sin. Your fault, Allah, your fault. لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, I will be on the straight path. I will sit on and wait for them on the straight path. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ, and I will come in front of them, وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ, and I'll come from behind them. وَأَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ, I will attack them from the left and the right. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ, and you will not find, oh Allah, you will not find many of them, most of them, you would find that they will be ungrateful to you. You won't find anyone amongst them that is good. Only a few will be good. And Allah says to Iblis, قَالَ هَذَا صِرَاطُ عَلَيَّ مُسْتَقِيمٌ, Allah says, this religion of Islam, this is my straight path. إِنَّ عِبَادِي مَعِسِمْ, those who worship me, لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانٌ, O Iblis, those who worship me, you will have no power upon them. إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْغَوِينَ, except those who follow you, and then they will be lost. They will be those who follow you. And so we see Iblis, he made a sin, which was his pride. He believed he was superior. He refused to bow down to Adam. Okay, it was bad enough. He then asked Allah, give me a chance. Allah gave him a chance. And look what he does with the chance. He says to Allah, I promise you, I will take this chance you've given me. to spend the rest of my life until the day of judgment misleading his children, making them commit sin, making them shed blood. As the angel said, I'm going to do exactly that. I'm going to cause them to make war on one another, to hurt one another, and they will reject you. This will be my life's mission. And so Allah says, go, you are, my curse is upon you. And so he became known as Shaytan. Shaytan is anyone who works to take you away from Allah. And that's why you get jinn shaytan and you get people shaytan. Shaytan is anyone that tries to come between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so now this is his job. His job, Iblis, is to cut off your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is really the beginning of Iblis. Now we'll come to know later on that Iblis wasn't sort of cast into hell. Obviously he's given to, he wasn't even expelled from the domain. He wasn't put on the earth. Why? He hasn't yet done anything to Adam. He just made a promise to Allah. Obviously he's speaking really disrespectfully to Allah, but he hasn't done anything to harm Adam yet. And so when we talk about in the next session, when Adam does commit his sin, obviously because of Iblis, or with the encouragement of Iblis, when Iblis does that, that will be actually his first sin against Adam. And then Iblis, as well as Adam and Hawa, of course, we all come to the earth, and so the jinn come to the earth, and we on the earth, and we share this place, this space with them, and so the jinn have their own test as well. Their test as well is to worship Allah. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I created the jinn and the angels, the jinn and man, to worship me, to have a relationship with me. They are on their own test. So they're two creatures. All of you have your own exam and test with Allah. Not depending on what you do is whether you will succeed or fail. No one is born into sin. No one is born cursed and away from the mercy of Allah. In fact, if you take anything from the story of Adam, he is born, or he's created close to Allah. And through his actions, he distanced himself from Allah. And then you have the opportunity to either repent and come back like Adam, or you can be like Shaytan, that you further and further run away from Allah and you commit more mischief. Any questions? We'll have to conclude earlier than normal this evening. Are there any questions? Mariam, you have a hand up? Go ahead. Mariam, you have your hand up? You may go ahead. Okay, if you wish to ask a question, you may ask a question. We will continue next week, inshallah, and our topic will be the soul of mankind, right? So we now understood sort of the angels. The angels can't commit sin and they have no free will. We understood the jinn to some extent, that they are made of fire. They have the ability to choose right from wrong. Their nature is one that is fiery in nature, if you will. Like Iblis, they can become very angry and they can become very vengeful and they can become very spiteful. They can travel very quickly. They have a lot of power. They're physically stronger than us. You know, in some ways, as the scholar said, Iblis was not wrong when he said that he is physically superior to Adam. But Allah does not look at the physical. Allah does not look at the external. He looks at what's inside. And of course, inside, Iblis was extremely evil, extremely dirty. We'll talk more about the nature of mankind. We're going to talk about the sin that Adam would commit. And we'll talk about the soul that Allah gave Adam. We know very little about the soul. It has free will in it, of course. It has the ability to do good, amazing things, cure sickness, save lives. And it also has in it the ability to cause war, to harm the people that you love. So where does this come from? Some mythologies believe that, you know, it is the jinn that causes you to do sin and the angels cause you to do good. No, we're going to learn that both good and bad, every man, every human being, you, me, we have the capacity within us to become the most beautiful of creatures or the most vile of creatures. And this is part of what it means to be human. So we'll talk about the nature of man, the soul of mankind, and what it means to be human. By human, you're not perfect. So how do we sin? How do we sin? And how do we get forgiven? And how do we return back to Allah after sin? Because that is perhaps the most profound lesson for us of the story of Adam. It's not about the angels bowing before us and we created from clay. Those are all wonderful things. But the message that we get from Adam is how do you commit sin and how do you repent from sin. And inshallah, that is our lecture, inshallah, next week, bi'idhnillah. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much. One more chance, one more opportunity. Any questions? Then jazakallah khair so much. I thank you, and we will reconvene next week, bi'idhnillah. Apologies for the technical difficulties this evening, inshallah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi sallam, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.